I know we have made quite a few references to Christmas. As a matter of fact, I believe the front of your worship guide says Discover Christmas. And so you're probably looking at my PowerPoint slide selection and wondering what's going on. A time for thanks is what we're going to talk about. And I think I could get away with that this morning because it still is Thanksgiving weekend. Right? So I could get away with that. You guys are going to be kind to me and let me deliver this sermon because this is what I believe the message God has for us this morning. Now, a few days ago, we did celebrate Thanksgiving, and many of us have had turkey in our house. We had two turkeys, actually. My wife had a contest with my brother-in-law. She did it the old-fashioned way by putting it in the oven, and he decided to go out and buy a deep fryer. Yeah, that's what I thought. But actually, the fried turkey turned out to be better than my wife's. Uh-oh. But the thing is, in addition to the turkey that we experienced and the feasting, of course, we had a lot of football this weekend. As you heard a few moments ago, quite a few references to football. Thanksgiving Day would not be complete without a Cowboys win on Thursday, and we'll take it, although it was kind of ugly, right? But in addition to that, there was a parade almost on every channel, right? There's a parade in New York, a parade in Chicago, a parade in Los Angeles, a parade all over the place. And I know that morning television wouldn't be complete without a parade on every channel. Well, what else did we experience? Well, I noticed that some of my neighbors had already started to put up Christmas decorations a few days before Thanksgiving. Okay, we'll give them a free pass. They're probably going to be busy for Thanksgiving. That's fine. As Randall mentioned, of course, Christmas music has been playing on the radio since October, right? And then Thanksgiving Day itself has turned into a shopping frenzy, right? It used to be Black Friday, and now it's Gray Thursday. People were out in droves on Thursday night. And what Thanksgiving Day has traditionally been has been reduced to a mere few hours. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what Thanksgiving is. And in order for us to do that, we need to take a look at a little bit of history. So on the back of your worship guide, you can see that there's a piece there that Governor Bradford had proclaimed in 1623. This was 3 years after the pilgrims settled at Plymouth. And this is what it says. To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and ye little ones do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime, on Thursday, November 29th, of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye almighty God for all his blessings, William Bradford, ye governor of ye colony. So there, if you didn't know where Thanksgiving came from, there it is. Now, I do need to tell you this. When I wrote that out to give it to Gloria, she thought that I had written that. And she was like, why are you using words such as inasmuch and ye so much? And I had to remind her, this is not my writing. This is Governor Bradford's proclamation. Now, he directed the pilgrims to set aside one day for Thanksgiving. Just one day. Now, I don't have a problem with that. You know, setting aside some time to give thanks. But what I want us to understand this morning is Thanksgiving is not a one day a year experience. The Word of God calls us to be thankful continually, daily, every day. It should be an attitude that is expressed not just once a year, but every day of our lives. In honor of the reading of the word of the Lord, let us stand as we read from Ephesians chapter 5, 19 through 20, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. And I read, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. May the Lord bless you with the reading of his word. You may be seated. As you can see here, Paul's main subject has to do with praise and thanksgiving. And you see key words here, such as always, continually, and in all circumstances. Now, when you see those words such as songs and hymns, you think of a church service. But he's not referring to just having that experience when you come into the house of the Lord. He's talking about having that experience, that worship experience, every day of your life. The psalmist writes, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my lips. So it's not just when you come to the house of the Lord, but it's an experience that you have every day. But here's the thing. Sam, how am I able to continually have this attitude of thanksgiving? It's difficult to always be thankful. Well, let me read this letter, because I think it'll give us proper perspective on Thanksgiving. One young lady wrote home from college, Dear Mom, sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm really has been broken. I broke it and my left leg when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when we had a fire. We were lucky. A young service station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were there in minutes. I was in the hospital for a few days. Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every day. And because it was taking so long to get our dormitory livable again, I moved in with him. He has been so nice, I must admit that I am pregnant. Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he can get a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine. And I will write more when I get the chance. Love your daughter, Susie. P.S. None of the above is true, but I did get a C in sociology and flunked chemistry. I just wanted you to receive this news in the proper perspective. To be thankful in all circumstances, we need to have a proper perspective of our circumstances and of our God, and only then can we give thanks to the Lord always. Now, there are a few attitudes that steal our gratitude. There are a few things that I want to discuss with you here briefly. One of them is pride, right? This idea of pride, you know, I got to where I am today because I worked hard. Or I studied well and that's why I have this great job. I don't need to thank anybody. We hear that all the time. We hear prominent people talk about their hard work and they leave God out of it as if he had nothing to do with it. And it was by their own effort. What's another attitude that people have that steals this gratitude that we are called to have? A critical spirit. Complaining, constant complaining. Now, I want you to hear this. A lady known as an incurable grumbler constantly complained about everything. At last, her preacher thought he had found something about which she would be happy, for her farm crop was the finest for miles around. When he met her, he said, with a beaming smile, "You must be very happy, Mary. Everyone is saying how healthy your potatoes look this year." "Well, true, they're pretty good, but what am I going to do when I need the bad ones to feed the pigs?" Constantly complaining, and there are phrases out there, and I apologize if this happens to be your name, but there are phrases out there such as Debbie Downer or Negative Nancy, and you have those phrases because there are people that are constantly complaining. How can you have an attitude of gratitude when all you do is complain? What's another attitude that people have? It's one of carelessness. Now, I don't want you to confuse carelessness with clumsy, okay? This is one where you care less, okay? I'll give you an example. There's a saying that if the stars only came out once a year, we would all go outside and gather around and watch the stars. But the reality is they're there all the time. We've become accustomed to them, and then we rarely give them any thought. In the same regard, you have the Israelites. God blessed them with manna every day. Every day, God provided for them. But what happened? As days turned into weeks, the Israelites started to grumble because they had become accustomed to what they have. They began to care less about this because they didn't like the fact that they had the same thing every day. Let me tell you, my kids are that way. If we had McDonald's is not a good example. If we had, good old home cooking tonight, Mom and Dad, we had that last night. Can't we go out and eat tonight? McDonald's isn't a good example. They could eat that every day. But the reality is, they became displeased at the fact that it was the same thing every day. And they began to care less. They had a miracle straight from God, but were no longer satisfied. Because of pride, because of constantly complaining, and this critical spirit, they were never truly thankful to God. Now, Rudyard Kipling, many of you know this famous author. He's written many famous books, many of which we've written, and he's actually had the opportunity to experience the financial blessings that come with being a famous author. Most of them usually receive those financial endowments after they've passed on. But he was having a conversation with a newspaper reporter that came up to him, and this is what he said. "Mr. Kipling, I just read that somebody calculated that the money you make from your writings amounts to $100 a word." Mr. Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, "Really? I certainly wasn't aware of that." The reporter cynically reached down into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill and gave it to Mr. Kipling and said, "Here's a $100 bill. Mr. Kipling, now you give me one of your $100 words." Mr. Kipling looked at that $100 bill for a moment, took it, folded it up, and put it in his pocket, and he said, "Thanks." Now, I'll tell you, that word thanks is too seldom heard. You know why? Because it's too rarely spoken, and it's so often forgotten. You don't hear that anymore. People telling thank you. People being grateful to one another. People being grateful to God. Look, let me tell you, if any nation on this planet should be thankful, it's America. And if any group of people in America should be thankful, it should be Christians. But the reality is, you're hard-pressed to find people that are engaged in Thanksgiving daily. This morning, I would like to share with you three things about Thanksgiving from the Bible. And the first point that I want to make is Thanksgiving should be expressed. Those of you that are following along in the worship guide, Thanksgiving should be expressed. Okay? In Psalms chapter 100, we find a chorus that says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart." And in Psalms chapter 107, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." And in Luke chapter 17, we see a story of 10 individuals that had leprosy, and Jesus healed these individuals. But then one individual out of the 10 came back to Jesus and said, "Thank you." And Jesus asked this individual, "Well, where are the other 9? Of course, the other 9 did not come back to express their gratitude for being healed from this terrible illness, which not only affected them physically, but it separated them from society. It was a terrible experience. But they didn't come back to express their gratitude for being healed. And so what did Jesus tell this individual in Luke chapter 17? He said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you whole." Now, this is a statement where, you know, a number of people will scratch their head, because all experienced a healing. So what did this one individual experience that the others didn't experience as a result of his gratitude? Well, not only did he experience a physical healing, he also experienced a mental healing. But more importantly, a spiritual one. These other individuals denied themselves that wholeness as a result of their ingratitude. This idea of being made whole, psychologists today tell us that sincere gratitude, thanksgiving, is the healthiest of all human emotions. And a thankful heart will endear others to us and us to others. For you see, thanksgiving is not only good for the giver, but also good for the receiver. See, God appreciates it when we are thankful. It lifts him up, it glorifies him. As a matter of fact, as we draw nigh to God, it endears him to us. We draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. When we lift praises up to him, when we bring gratitude, when we come into his presence with a heart of thanksgiving, we are glorifying God. But if we don't do that, Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it tells us, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." What this seems to imply is, if you are not grateful, if you don't bring thanksgiving to God, as the word of the Lord says, your heart becomes hard, and your efforts become futile. Yes, even we as Christians can walk away from God in ingratitude. Before I leave this point, I want to list a few ways that we can say thank you to God. We can spend time with him, more than just an hour and a half on Sunday morning. We can forgive others, because when we forgive others, we are thankful and grateful for the forgiveness that God has shown us. We demonstrate thankfulness to God when we serve in his church, when we share his plan of salvation, when we reach out to hurting people, when we give God our best, when we praise him enthusiastically from our heart. Our thanksgiving should be expressed. If you truly are joyful and thankful in your heart, you won't be able to keep it inside. It'll bubble over. It'll exude from your being. The second point that I want to make this morning is our thanksgiving should be expansive. Expansive. Now, here's the thing about our thanksgiving. As it expands, it should include three things. And the first point is, it should include the blessings of life. Now, I have a great wife. Randall, of course, pointed her out earlier. But she cooks and she cleans. And one of the things that she does after dinner every night is she goes to the kitchen and takes a look at all of the dishes that have piled up in the kitchen sink. And she says, "Thank you, Lord, for all these dirty dishes." Come on, you know I'm lying. Who does that? Who does that? But you know, here's the thing, though. When you see a sink full of dirty dishes, that speaks to the fact that God has provided for me and my family. That speaks to the daily food and water that God has given me. That's what those dirty dishes point to. You know, 2/3 of the world goes to bed hungry every night. I have a lot to be thankful for. Our prayers are often very general. You know, we say, "Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you have showered upon me." Now, there was a hymn written in 1897 that tells us to do a little bit more than that. Now, we had three beautiful ladies sing a song earlier, but that hymn goes something like this, and this is my first public attempt to sing, so bear with me. Guys in the back, you might have to EQ this a little bit, but it goes like this. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Right? Now, if we are praying, thank you, Lord, for all of my blessings, but we listen to that hymn, we're to count those. We are to recognize all that the Lord has done for us. Man, if we were to pray that prayer, we'd be praying all day. Because we would stop and think about all the endless blessings that God has granted us. Now, our thanksgiving should also include not only the blessings of life, but the burdens of life. The burdens of life. Now, this is a tough one because 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks. Now, many of us would look at this and say, man, Paul made a mistake. Or it was probably easy for him. But the reality is, Paul was run out of town, beaten, whipped, imprisoned, betrayed by friends, naked, cold, hungry, shipwrecked, and stoned because of his faith. He didn't have it easy. Yet Paul never stopped giving thanks. And Paul gives us several verses that gives us proper perspective when it comes to our circumstances. We read in Romans 8:18, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." 2 Corinthians 12:10, it says, "For the sake of Christ then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And Philippians 1:12, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." When we have a proper perspective like Paul, we can see how he was able to give thanks in all circumstances. See, in our weakness, God makes us strong. When we are struggling, God is able to work in our lives. See, I'm not saying that it's easy to be thankful. And I'm not saying that we should be thankful for our problems. But the Word of God is calling us to be thankful in them. In those problems. See, when the Philippian jailer was ready to take his life because of an earthquake, what did he hear inside the jail? He heard Peter and Silas praising and worshiping God and giving thanks to God. And as a result, this Philippian jailer, seeing those two individuals glorifying and thanking God, even in the midst of turmoil, not only was this individual, but his entire family was saved as a result of these two individuals thanking God in a time where I probably would be running for the hills. Understand that others can come to Christ because of our example, especially in the midst of difficult times. Our thanksgiving should also, and finally, include the benefits of life. The benefits of life. When the Israelites focused on all they didn't have, they failed to realize all that they did have. They had God providing directly for them. But it's hard because we've been through desperate times And it's hard to see the benefits of life when we're surrounded by turmoil, when our circumstances are not so good. I want to read this excerpt. An experiment was done in New York City's Central Park, where an advertising firm dressed a man up as a blind man and gave him a cup to collect money. One day they put a sign around his neck that read, "I'm blind." On that day he collected about $4. The next day they dressed him the same way, placed him in the same place, but changed the sign to read, "It's spring and I'm blind." That day, he collected nearly $40. That day, those people realized how blessed they were by the beautiful flowers, the birds, the sunrise, and the sunset that they were able to experience that this man was not. As Christians, there are many benefits in life, but none more important than the fact that we have a God that loves us, that has forgiven us, that has given us all of the treasures of heaven, himself included, and has given us eternal life. As Christians, we have much to be thankful for. Now, many of you probably saw in the news, there was an actor that passed away last night, Paul Walker, who has made many films, and I believe he was 40 years old, if I'm not mistaken. And anytime you go to a funeral service where those individuals may not have known Christ, it's a sorrowful experience. But in the house of the Lord, when someone passes on and enters into glory, we're rejoicing. And we're thankful to God that they had a relationship with that individual, that God had a relationship with that individual. We fail to recognize the benefits of life, but God has given us of himself, and we are to be thankful for that. Not only should our thanksgiving be expressed and expanded, but we also learn that, finally, number three, our thanksgiving is expected. Our thanksgiving is expected. Now, when you are reading those verses in 1 Thessalonians, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now, you know how many times people tell me, "Sam, I would love to know the will of God in my life. If only I knew what God's will for me was, I would be happy." But here, it's actually written out for you. Because the will of God in each and every one of our lives is to give thanks in all circumstances. That is the will of God. So next time we ask that question, "God, what is your will for me?" remember this verse. Well, because this is the will of God for each and every one of us in this room. He knows that if we do that, our lives will be changed. And this is the mark of a growing Christian. This is the mark of a growing Christian. How do you know that you are growing in the faith? Because you start to be thankful. And that becomes more evident in your life. Let me give you an example. And I feel as though I can share this because I've had two babies of my own. But think of a baby, right? Baby is up all night. Maybe this baby has colic, can't go to sleep, neither can anybody else in the household. And so you're pacing back and forth with the baby in your arms, patting gently on the back, maybe for hours. And then finally the baby goes to sleep, maybe lets out a burp or two, and then you lay the baby down. Okay, I just walked you back and forth for 2 to 3 hours. Where's my thank you? Okay? Now, here's what happens, and this is what my kids did. As soon as I put them down, they started crying again. That's their thanks, right? And I know we've all experienced that before. But the thing is, as these children grow up, and my children specifically, it's hard for them to be thankful. They don't know what it means to say thanks. You know, I have to tell them, okay, now say thank you. They gave you something, now say thank you. I have to tell that to them over and over again. Because it doesn't come naturally. This idea of gratitude doesn't come naturally. We have to be taught that. I almost have to force my children to say thank you. Spiritually speaking, we have to be taught that. And as we grow in our faith, that becomes exemplified. When we realized how blessed we are by others and by God and express that, we are growing. The second point I want to make here is our thanksgiving is also the mark of a giving Christian. Once we realize what God has done for us, we want to give back. I mean, when somebody does something nice for you, you have this tendency to want to do something nice back, right? This idea of pay it forward that's in social media right now. Even, I think Liberty Mutual has this great commercial where an individual is standing there on the street corner and they see someone help someone else, and that in turn makes them do the same thing, and the next thing you know, everybody's helping each other. Because when we realize what someone else has done for us, we want to give back. Let me tell you, when we think of the word thanksgiving, we mainly think of the first part of the word, thanks. But thanksgiving isn't thanksgiving without the second part of the word either, which is giving. Which is giving. We cannot have thanksgiving without giving. Let me give you an example. When we go to the restaurant, and we experience great service, what do? We thank them and we give them a tip. You know, we take out our wallet and we write 15%. And if it's a good experience, we might even write 18%. And if it's a great experience, we'll write 20, 25%. And if it's not so hot of an experience, maybe you won't write 15. Maybe you'll write 10. Maybe you won't write any. But when it comes to God, who has given us the greatest gift, the greatest service, the greatest of all that we can ever ask for or need, man, we have a hard time giving him 10%. See, when you truly have a heart of thanksgiving, you want to give God because you recognize all that he has given you. Thanksgiving is a mark of a growing Christian, a giving Christian, and finally, a glowing Christian. A glowing Christian. If you are thankful to God, then you will be glowing. You will not be constantly critical and pessimistic, but eternally thankful. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 through 10, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body of the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." Glowing. Let me tell you, if you are thankful and grateful to the Lord, Jesus will be manifest in you. When people see you, they don't see you. They'll see Jesus in you. That's how you glow. Henry Frost served for many years as a missionary to China. And in his journal, he wrote of a very difficult time in his life. And this is what he said. "I had received sad news from home, and deep shadows had covered my soul. I prayed, but the darkness did not vanish. I summoned myself to endure, but the darkness only deepened. Then I went to an inland station and saw on the wall of the mission home these words: try thanksgiving. I did, and in a moment every shadow was gone, not to return." Yes, the psalmist was right. He said, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." Now, I know that there are many of us this morning that are going through a difficult time in our life. There are many of us this morning that are praying as we go through these difficult times. We are waiting upon the Lord for an answer to our prayers still. Many of us are at the point where we're telling ourselves everything will be all right. Just a little bit more time and I'll be through this valley. But I want to encourage each one of us as we hear from the word of the Lord this morning to try and express thanksgiving, not just one day a year, but every single day of our life. That is the word of the Lord for you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word for us this morning. God, I pray that you forgive us, O God, for being ungrateful at times, God. We fail to realize the blessings of life. We fail to realize the benefits of life. God, you are calling us to be a thankful people. I pray, God, that we are not a thankless generation, but rather a generation that is grateful for the God that we serve, for it brings glory to your name. And I pray, God, as we grow through life, that we continue to grow, that our thanksgiving continues to develop, and we not just set aside one day a week, or for some maybe one day a year, but we set aside time every day to be thankful. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Lord, I pray as we are coming to this time at your altar, God, I pray that you meet with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.